This is an oral history interview with Gwen Bradley conducted by Vanden Stanfield on October 28, 1994 at 12:45 p.m. The subject of this interview is the different aspects of her life in Alabama. She was born in Gallant on May 1, 1934. All right, Gwen, can you tell me some of your earliest childhood memories of growing up in Gallant in the late 1930s?
I was born at my grandmother's home in a little country house with a dirt road. We didn't have any electricity. Very, very primitive in Gallant in the 30s. I started to school at Gallant Elementary School, which had 6 grades, 3 grades to a room. And I was 6 years old, I guess 1939. And shortly after we had the big snow of the 30s of 1940, that crippled everything out in our area for 7 days, because it stayed below zero and the snow stayed with us that time. We had 1, 2, and 3 grades in each classroom. I would pack my lunch, mother would, and I'd take it to school. We had other children in the school who didn't have as much and didn't have a lunch, and I'd give it to them, and then I'd go sneak off to my grandmother's house at noontime to eat hot cornbread and vegetable soup or whatever that Mom had fixed. But when I guess I was about 4 years old, Mother had a little batch of baby chickens. I picked up one of the little chicks. She had to bring them in the house because it was having real, real cold weather. I picked up a little chick, and evidently he moved, and I squeezed him too hard, and it killed him. So I've always had a fear of anything with feathers. I just don't put me near feathers anymore because of killing that little chicken when I was so very, very small. When I was about 9 years old, I guess, my dad went in World War II. He was first in maybe Mississippi, then Oklahoma. We went out there for a visit and had to ride a troop train, had to get put off in Memphis. Travel was very, very primitive, but they put us all off in Memphis, the families of the soldiers, and we had to stay up there in the train station for overnight. Very, very cold while they moved the troop trains through. Things are just don't compare with the way that they are now with the military. We would always go to stay the summers with Daddy when he was in the Army, but Mother always made sure that we'd come home in the fall for me to go to school in the same area that I had with the same students that I grew up with. We didn't have any electricity in Gallant until in about 1938, I guess, and they were putting the power lines through Gallant. One man climbed up on a pole and was connecting those lines, not knowing that there was already electricity in some of it, and he was electrocuted. I guess this is my earliest encounter with anyone dying, and seeing the man hanging with straps up on this power line pole. But my dad climbed the pole and unhooked him and brought him down, and then he was pronounced dead out there in front of my granddaddy's country store. Very, very traumatic to me. The gas pumps then were very, very primitive. You had to pump them up. And there were big glass tubes at the top that held the gasoline, and it would ding as you got down to a gallon, so you just had to count that and know when you had run a gallon of gas in. Gas was about 15 cents a gallon at the time. lights. Didn't have to worry about no electricity to fill up the gas tanks like we do now when the power goes out and get gasoline to go in place. We didn't have a paved road in the island until 1951, when they finally put us in a paved road from Ocala. But we rode the bus, the dirt road to Etowah, which was about 12 miles from out in our country area. That was hard, riding a school bus every day and going, leaving so early to get to Etowah. But we had the best football team in the state, so it didn't matter. I made up for it. We also won state championship basketball while I was at Etowah. Finished there in 1952. But I didn't think that I would be finishing there, because in 1946, my dad was still in Europe, World War II, and we, mother and I were going to go to Europe to, and I would have started school there in the seventh grade. But we had a telegram from Daddy one day. This was 1 year after World War II finished. Had a telegram said, "This letter follows." All we knew that we didn't have to take all those terrible shots that we were going to have to take to go to Europe. When we did receive the letter, Daddy was coming home finally after 2.5 to 3 years in Germany, where he had served in action in World War II.
Can you tell me about how it was, what was like growing up and your dad being over fighting in the war?
It's very hard. We didn't have any television. We had a radio, but you know, what newscast we got were very, very slim. And some, the longest we went from hearing from Daddy was about 40 days. And it was when he was on the trip through the Black Forest in Germany, and they just had no way of getting out of the letter. So we went to bed every night, not knowing if he was already dead or not. And every time a taxi would come to Gallant, which was a rarity, and to deliver the telegram, because we had no telephones out here, said if anyone saw a taxi coming up the road, they knew that probably the War Department coming to tell someone the bad news. I remember one time, though, we did have a man who had gone into a tower, had a little too much to drink, hiring a taxi to bring him all the way out to Gallant. And that was one of the big jokes of the century, because everybody thought that someone else had been killed, was missing in action. So it was a relief to know that we just had one of our neighbors who had a little bit too much to drink. But it was bad. And one time we went to the picture show, which we did for entertainment then, and they had newsreels, which would be like our news on our television now, and we would sit through those newsreels of the war trying to see someone that we knew. One time I thought I saw my dad. We sat through the movie again, through the newsreel again, and it didn't turn out to be my dad, but it was really an exciting, terrifying moment at the time when I screen during the picture show, "There's my daddy" on the screen, but it wasn't. So Daddy was in the Guard when he came out of World War II. He stayed in the Dixie Division, the Army National Guard. He was called up again in 1950 for when Truman, I guess, called up the National Guard to go back to Korea. Daddy stayed in that time for about two years, because he came out in August of 1952. That time we lived in South Carolina and Indiana. And the only thing that kept Daddy from going to Korea in that war was the fact that he got the measles. And when his bunch shipped out, he was still in the infirmary with measles. So that's one time we were thankful for an older man getting a childhood disease. Mother and I lived along and tolerated that time during World War II. And then in 1948, when Daddy got back from Europe, we were blessed with a little brother. After, let's see, my parents were 36 years old when he was born. So Daddy always said, yeah, two children, two wars. But we were sure thankful when we finally had a little baby. So everybody to mother, because he thinks that I'm his mother too, which I consider him that way. But being 14 years older than he was, I loved to take care of him, play mother, and at the time, and just thankful that we got him before it's too late. And that's one thing that Daddy got out of the war, out of the army after he was a little older in 1952, when Daddy came out of the Korean War. But I don't guess it, I guess it sunk in, because that one went in when he was 18 and he's still in now. So I guess it's born into you, it's just there forever.
All right, Gwen, can you tell me what it was like growing, being a teenager and growing up in the late 1940s, early 1950s in a rural community such as Gallup?
We didn't have anything for entertainment. The biggest thing was the Christmas play at church. We wouldn't be dating. We'd just all be a crowd. We'd pool our money and borrow some daddy's car that wasn't having to use it for work. Everybody just had one car. We did have a car. We would pool our money and go to a Tala or maybe Guest to go to the show and the movies, and put our change together to buy gas, fill up that man's car so he'd have gas to go to work the next week. We didn't have any entertainment out here. We we made a lot of popcorn, a lot of fudge at somebody's house. We got our first TV in 1952. But it's very, very snowy. Get 2 to 3 channels sometimes. But everybody would gather up at one neighbor's house every Monday night to watch I Love Lucy. Sometimes there'd be 20 people sitting on the floor of this one person's house just to watch that particular show every week. A mess, needless to say.